here was God's big picture or big plan, is that earth would become a colony of heaven. That earth would become, you remember when back in the old days, like even with, you know, we say Christopher Columbus discovered America. He discovered it with all the people on it that were already living here. If you understand what I'm saying, he didn't really discover it. All right, there were already people living here. But anyway, he discovers it, so to speak, and he comes to this land, puts up the flag of his country, and says, "I'm claiming this for the queen." Right? He's colonizing this land for the homeland. He's saying this land belongs to our homeland. Are you with me? And so what do they begin to do? Well, they begin to bring their culture, their language, their education, their mindsets into this new territory, into this new land, because they are colonizing. You ever notice how the northeast part of our nation is called the New England states? Right? Because where we come from? England. And so they began to colonize the original 13 colonies. Man, some of you are thinking, I haven't heard this stuff for like 25 years, right? You know, the colonies. Man, I forgot about that. Pilgrims and Mayflower and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm just remembering it to myself as I'm talking. So the point is this, is that why do they call it New England? I mean, Yorktown, right? New York. They started just kind of bringing in English mentality, English names, English education, English ways of living, because they were making a colony here in this country just like the homeland. That was God's design, that Adam, that humanity would use God's kingdom or God's dominion here in the earth to make the earth look like heaven. That was God's design. Not all the earth was like Eden. It was the only place where heaven and earth were one. It was the only place where heaven and earth were merged. And yet God says to Adam, he says, okay, I want you to use this image that I've given to you, and I want you to bring heaven onto the earth and exercise my government until it fills the whole earth. Now we think after the fall, well, this whole plan just fell apart. But where do you see where God ever changed his mind? Where do you see where God ever said, you know what, I'm taking it back, forget it? Does anybody ever see where God says, never mind? Does anybody ever see where God says, you know what, forget this. I'm just going to, when you die, I'm just going to have you live up here in heaven forever. Forget the earth, we're just going to destroy it. Now, isn't that part of our end time thinking? Jesus, get us out, because the world's about to burn up with fire. If the whole goal of God is just to get you in heaven, all we need are two ministries, evangelists and assassins. Somebody's just, did you get that? If the whole idea is just get to heaven, well, get me saved and get me to heaven. How many of you think God's got a bigger plan? Here's, you know, I heard this years ago, that Satan's boast was that God put perfect man in a perfect environment. And Satan says, and I beat him. God put perfect man in a perfect environment and I beat him. But the boast of the Lord will be, I took fallen humanity in a fallen world, transformed them, and beat you. With them, that fallen humanity in a fallen world, I'm able to transform them and beat you with them. Because, let's face it, Satan is not even a contest for God. That's not even a, you know what I'm saying? And so what I want you to see here is that God's idea of his kingdom covering the whole earth has never changed. Daniel tells us that. He says that Jesus, the stone, was thrown to the earth and became a great mountain until it filled the whole earth. That mountain is the kingdom of God, the government of God. In other words, what God's heart is not that Christians, what we call Christians, just hide and pray, hoping that we get out of here in time. Because any war that happens in Israel, oh my God, that's the signs of the times, and that's a sign of this, and it's a sign of that. Guys, I want to challenge you, search your scriptures again, and be free from the end time teachings that you've been taught for so many years. And I want to challenge you to read the scriptures apart from those lenses and see what it really says. Because I want to tell you, Jesus' idea of the end times is not a defeated church. It's a victorious church that is spreading the kingdom of God everywhere it goes. The idea of the end times that is popular right now, in fact, there's about to be a new movie right now coming out pretty soon with Nicolas Cage, the Left Behind series and whatever. I can tell you, I will not watch it. This is me. If you watch it, fine, awesome, great. I'd rather go watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles than Left Behind. I'm just being honest with you. Because the reality is this, is that type of message does only a few things. Number one, it produces fear. Fear-based living. 1 John 4 says this, perfect love casts out all fear. And yet, many preachers are trying to put it back in. The fear of, do you know why the rapture became such a popular message and that Left Behind type of idea became such a popular message? Because we've used it for so many years to try to scare people out of hell. If Jesus were to come tonight, where would you go? And, you know, we try to get people saved. Do you know that if you get people saved, well, let's use terminology we're familiar with. If you get people saved through a message of fear, then you don't produce sons, you produce slaves. Because they are only responding to a fear, and that's the way, that's a wrong mentality. I've just got to serve because of fear. Versus, I'm in love, and I'm in a relationship. What would happen if the real gospel message that Paul preached, that Jesus preached, I mean, Jesus was not going around trying to scare people out of hell. Jesus was going around demonstrating the goodness, the power of God and the kingdom of God. Are you with me? You don't see people following him because of fear. Why did they, why did the disciples leave their nets? Because Jesus said, follow me or I'll make you sick if you don't. Follow me or I'll curse your finances. Follow me or I'll put sickness on your children. Jesus never used a fear message to manipulate of the church. Are you with me? So before we go around vomiting our fear-based messages, why don't we get a different worldview? And why don't we demonstrate this right here, the kingdom of God? Let's demonstrate what this looks like. What does the kingdom look like? Well, Jesus gave us a pretty good picture. The book of Acts gives us a pretty good picture. Are you with me? And so, I want to challenge you that God's not done in the earth. God is not coming back. Jesus is not coming back for a failed bride. In fact, if this whole thing is just about taking us all up to heaven and destroying the earth, then all of this has been for nothing. I'll give you this much on what I think here. Here's the passage that everybody always quotes, that in the twinkling of an eye we'll be caught up together with him, right? And this mortal body will put on immortality, right? Y'all know that? Okay, or you've heard that. Paul talks about that in Thessalonians. That in the twinkling, and that's where they say that's the rapture. That's when, people that have been dead for thousands of years and however long, their bodies are resurrected, they get new bodies. You know, their spirit has been in heaven all this time, because he says those that are dead in Christ are first and all that. So their bodies have been dead all this time. Their spirit has been in heaven all this time. And then yet all of a sudden, they're going to get a new body. Now, think about this for a moment. And this, I'm going to close with this. Think about this for a second. Why is it that somebody who's been in heaven for, let's just give an example, somebody who's been in heaven now for 1,000 years, okay, their body is decayed, right? Their spirit has been in heaven for 1,000 years now. And in this catching away, in this event where there is a catching away, it says that they are going to get a new body. Why do they need a new body if they're just going to live in heaven forever? Why do they need a new body if they've already been in heaven for 1,000 years with no body? You can. Are you getting this? Why? Listen, you've been doing pretty good the last 1,000 years without it. What do you need it for? Our concept of them the last 1,000 years is they're floating around in clouds with a golden harp and a robe. All of our ridiculous religious ideas that we've had. I thought it was really funny. I saw that movie, the one with the little boy that goes to heaven. Heaven is for real. I saw that movie and I thought it was really funny when they're walking by these little statues of angels in the hospital, and the little boy's passing by and he tells his dad, they don't look like that. It's the little chubby, you know, the obese angels that have little bitty wings and harps and stuff. And he says, they don't look like that. That to me was really funny. But those are our concepts, right? And even our concepts of Jesus, you know, the way he looks and everything. So the point is this, is that why does this person who's been dead for 1,000 years all of a sudden need a new body? Let me ask you this. Who was, number one, who was dominion given to in the earth? It was a human. And what was distinguishing a human? Someone who had a body with a spirit. Humanity is, number one, spirit, who just happens to have a body. One of the lies, one of the twists that's come into our belief system is that we are physical beings who have a spirit. The reality is that you're a spiritual being who just happens to have a body. Don't reverse the two, because if you see yourself first as physical, that I'm just a physical being that has a spirit, then you will always live in the natural and occasionally have spiritual encounters. But if you realize that you are first, number one, spirit, and you just happen to have a body, then you will live continuously in the reality of the spirit. How do I know that you're first spirit? Because even after this body decays, you're still alive. Your spirit still exists even after this flesh is gone. What does that tell you? That you are first spirit, not first natural. Are you with me? Does that make sense? So somebody who's been dead for 1,000 years, well, they don't have this anymore. They don't have their body anymore. They are in heaven in spirit form. But yet, when this catching away takes place, those who are only in spirit form are going to get a new body. And this new body, it says there, is immortal. Not only that, those of us that are still alive, that still have this natural body gets transformed into an immortal body as well. Are you with me? Who was dominion given to? A spirit that had a body. Why do you need an immortal body? I mean, Listen, this is not where I plan to go tonight or today, but we're here anyway, so we might as well just go all the way in it, all right? Why do you need a new body? Because you don't have dominion on the earth unless you're a spirit that has a body. So if the plan is just live in heaven forever, then why give you a new body? Because the plan is not just live in heaven forever. The plan, here, let me tell you this. Here's what John says. We don't know what he looks like. But we know this. When we see him, we will be just like him. In every way. Now, when Jesus resurrected, did he resurrect in spirit or in body? Spirit and body. He resurrected in bodily form, right? They went to the tomb and no bones, no skin, nothing was left but the coverings, the wrappings, right? Are you with me? Jesus resurrected in bodily form. Did he have a new body? Yeah, he did. This new body that Jesus has, now catch this, because this is where it gets real sick. I mean, like in a cool way. All right? It gets really cool here. This new body that Jesus has, he's eating fish one moment. The next moment, he's over here in this place. Remember after he resurrects, he tells Mary, "Don't touch me, because I haven't ascended to the Father yet." Right? And then the next time you see him, he's with the disciples and he says, "Touch me." Wait. Just a few moments ago, "Don't touch me, because I haven't ascended to the Father yet." And then, "Hey guys, feel me. I'm physical. I'm real. I'm not a ghost. I'm not a, you know, this is not some kind of vapor or figment of your imagination." Was Jesus just like, you know, did he have a problem with women? You know, like, "Hey, you know, I'm against you. Don't touch me." No. He says, "I need to go to the Father first." So what does this tell you? That in his body, in this resurrected body, Jesus has access to both heaven and earth at will. In this new resurrected body, Jesus has access to heaven and earth. In this new resurrected body, Jesus walks through walls and yet eats fish. In this new resurrected body, you can touch him and yet he can go from here to there. Remember when he's walking on the road to Emmaus with those guys? And then they sit down to eat and he breaks the bread and then all of a sudden they realize this is Jesus and then boom, he's gone. It says for 40 days after his ascension that Jesus was appearing to many people in different places. You know what's pretty crazy is that you can go to even places like in Africa where they have these traditions that have been passed down of someone appearing to them thousands of years ago. And the descriptions seem to be pretty similar. Jesus wasn't just jumping around Jerusalem. I think he was going around the world in different ways, in different places around the world. Regardless, here's what I want you to see. What I want you to see is this, is that his resurrected body is what you get. His immortal resurrected body is what you get. So that this mortal body gets transformed into the very resurrected body, into the likeness of his resurrected body. What does it mean? You're saying, okay, so what does it mean for us? It means that you are not just going to live in heaven forever. You're going to have access to both heaven and to the new earth that is free from the curse, free from sin, free from the fall, and that you will experience the earth in the fullness that God originally intended for humanity to enjoy this place. And listen, think about the most beautiful place right now on the earth and realize it's still not the fullness that God intended. But you will be able to enjoy the fullness of what he intended. I don't know about you, but that's pretty crazy to me. That is some pretty wild stuff to me. And so the purpose of the catching away is not escape. The purpose of the catching away is so that you and I have not only a spirit, but an immortal body that is able to have access between heaven and earth and is able to live in the fullness of both realms at the same time. Listen, I don't know about you. I'm going to enjoy food in that resurrected body. And there's not going to be a problem with cholesterol. There's not going to be a problem with all these issues and whatever. What I want you to see here is that God's idea is not, oh, let's just destroy the earth, get rid of all of it and everything, and everybody just live up here with me. No, God's idea is I want you to have full access to heaven and earth. I want you to have full access. And I want you to enjoy creation. I want you to enjoy heaven and earth with your spirit and resurrected body. Is that pretty wild? That's the purpose of the catching away. It is not escape from Antichrist. It is people exercising dominion on this earth who are a spirit and body, humanity. But this is going to be a endless life. No aging. That was another thing I thought was real funny in that movie, Heaven is for Real, where the little boy tells his dad that he saw his dad's grandfather in heaven. You remember that? Somebody that saw it? I thought this was funny too, because the dad gets all excited because that was his mentor, and he loved his grandfather or his father very much. And so the dad brings a picture, and it's a picture of the grandfather, or aged and glasses, and he says, "Is this the way he looked?" And the little boy's like, no, that's not." He says, "Are you sure?" He's like, "Are you sure that's not the way he looked? I mean, look close." He goes, and the little boy says, "Nobody has glasses in heaven." He says, "Nobody has glasses in heaven, Dad." And then he shows him a younger picture when he was in the military, probably in his 20s or whatever. He says, "Is this the way he looked?" He goes, "That's him right there. That's the one I saw." I just thought that was really funny. Nobody has glasses in heaven, Dad. So, hunger has come upon me. And it is finished. All right, let's stand together. We're changing lenses, amen? You've heard me talk here about becoming an apostolic house and what that means. It's not enough just to be a good church. It's not enough to be even a prophetic church. It's not enough just to be a good Bible teaching church. All those things are great. All those things are needed. They're necessary. But the true church of Jesus is an apostolic church. That's what he called his disciples, right? Apostles. And I've explained to you before where that came from. That came from the Greeks. It was before the Romans. It was the Greeks who would colonize different regions. And the way, some of you remember the word Hellenization? And basically what that meant was changing a conquered territory into the culture of the Greeks, bringing Greek language, Greek culture, Greek education, Greek politics, forms of government, sports, all these different things, the arts, entertainment. They would bring everything from Greek culture into a new territory, into a new conquered territory. And the ones that were leading those groups of people who were changing culture, they were called apostles. Jesus did not give his disciples a religious name that everybody could associate with. He gave them a name that had the idea of changing culture. And what I want you to see is, with all the current events going on in the Middle East and in Missouri and all over the world, You are not a victim in this world of the things that are going on. And you are not to be afraid of the things that are going on. Because your citizenship is higher than American. Your citizenship is higher than Latino or whatever race or whatever culture. Your citizenship is a kingdom citizenship that has dominion and does not know what defeat is about. And this kingdom, this government, will never know defeat because according to the scripture, of the increase of this government, there will be no end. He is the great chief apostle, Hebrews says. What does that mean? That he is the one who is leading the expedition to colonize this earth so that it matches the homeland. So that this conquered territory called earth matches what heaven looks like. Now, everything I told you about, you know, all the catching away and all that, that's all great stuff. But what about here and now? What about right now, practically? Well, practically, here's what I want you to begin to understand. You are not to live in fear of what may come, of what the news, the terroristic media may tell you. You are people who are living from a different perspective. When John in the book of Revelation was in the valley, do you know what he saw? It says that he saw, and I'm just, you know, I'm not going to give you the King James language on this, but he saw the woman, the woman called Babylon. All right, King James is pretty graphic on what it calls her, you know, but whatever. So, but it's this representation of darkness, right? But then a few chapters later, the angel carries him to the mountain. And from the mountain, what does John see? He doesn't see that woman anymore, that harlot, Babylon. What does he see? He sees the bride coming down out of heaven full of glory. With these gates of pearl and the street of gold and this glory of God shining through her. And he says it doesn't even need light because God is the light of that city. What changed? What allowed John to see something different from the perspective he was seeing from? Seeing from the valley? Listen, you're going to get that from the news. You're going to get that from people all around you, even from well-meaning Christians that have, you know, good hearts, but just wrong thinking. But you need to start seeing from the mountaintop. You need to start seeing from a different perspective called the Kingdom Mountain, so that you can not just see all the problems, you can see what God is releasing from heaven to earth. And you can see you're part of it. You're part of it. Not a victim. You are not a victim of things around you. You are someone who is apostolic in the sense that you are called to change culture around you. Amen? That is what an apostolic church does. We don't fear what's going on around us. We bring the kingdom everywhere we go, and we declare the kingdom into the Middle East. We declare the kingdom into Ferguson, Missouri. We declare the kingdom in this nation, in the White House. Listen, I don't care what politics you agree or disagree with. That is not going to stop the kingdom of God from advancing in this country. The only thing that's going to determine the timing of it is whether you and I believe it. Whether you and I believe it. Amen? So I pray that we get some different lenses. Father, I pray that the lenses of fear and lies would be broken off our eyes today in Jesus' name. And I pray that we would begin to see things differently, see things from your kingdom. There are things that we don't understand. There are things happening in the world that will produce fear and anxiety and stress. But we know this. The kingdom of God is advancing. And the kingdom of God will continue to advance until the glory of the Lord covers this earth the way the waters cover the sea. That is your promise. We don't know how it'll happen exactly. All we know is that you have us down here to do what you want done. And so I pray that our eyes be open. I pray that our understanding be changed and transformed, and that we would become the ones that are transforming society. The ones that are not victims of culture, but the ones that are actually reforming culture. That we are the ones setting the stage of what is going to be transformed and changed in our communities and in our nation. And I just declare, Father, that the body of Christ will arise out of fear, will arise out of doubt, will arise out of wrong thinking, and come into the light of truth that the kingdom of God is the most powerful thing in this universe, and nothing will stop it from bringing heaven to earth in complete form, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord thanks?